From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is a podcast from the archives of The Fischko Files, on radio since 1999. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs, on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Pianist Menachem Pressler, for 50 years the center of the Beaux-Arts trio, still plays and teaches with a particular exuberance. It makes it easy to forget that Pressler is old enough to have played for Arturo Toscanini, for example, at Toscanini's home in Riverdale, with the then newly formed Beaux-Arts trio. And now it turns out there is a tape to prove it, recently found.
He didn't know that everything in the house of Toscanini was recorded. It was just like in the president's house.
In fact, Pressler and the Beaux-Arts trio played a full program on this particular night, of which this Ravel was just a fragment. And they had dinner there as well.
After the dinner, I saw him listening to some of his recordings, and I saw how he reacted while listening, his eyes closed. He was one of the greatest musicians I had ever met.
Great and terrifying, and not only because Pressler was a young musician at the time.
He was an intimidating presence because from what I knew happened in the rehearsals that he conducted the NBC orchestra. He would throw his watch down and he would break his conducting stick. He would yell at them. And he had an unfailing ear. So, he had everything you fear. On the other hand, he made everybody play so much better than they could. So they feared and loved him.
Pressler has seen times change.
Today there is, if a conductor would say the things that Toscanini said, he would have come in front of the committee of the orchestra and he would have to defend it. And now it's a different time, it's a different life.
Toscanini, the perfectionist, as it turned out, loved the way the Beaux-Arts played that night in January of 1956. He said it was fine chamber music, performed with impeccable taste and musicianship. He called them inspiring. Just the kind of comments that, coming from the man at the top, could launch a young trio, which is pretty much what happened. At that point, the trio consisted of pianist Pressler, violinist Daniel Gillet, and cellist Bernard Greenhouse. Pressler was the kid then.
Because the two of them that I played with knew so much more than I did. It was exciting. It was difficult because Gillet was a tough customer. He outdid Toscanini. He would say, "Why do you play that like a peasant? That should be played like an aristocrat." Or you would say, "Where are the raindrops? I have you look for the raindrops in this passage."
A half century later, the personnel has changed. The Beaux-Arts now features Pressler with violinist Daniel Hope and cellist Antonio Meneses. They are still a revered and prolific trio. This is even more of an accomplishment than you might imagine, because the piano trio has been a bit of an oddity in music, a kind of half-baked form in the eyes of many, not an easy form to write in nor an easy form to play.
Chamber music societies, when we started, didn't think a piano trio was chamber music because they said, "Oh, how can a percussion instrument like a piano be playing in good balance with two string instruments? It's a hybrid. It's not really a good chamber music ensemble."
And a lot of the performing piano trios of the past had been part-time groups. There were great players in great trios. Rubinstein, Heifetz, and Piatigorsky played together. And there was the great Courtauld, Thibault, and Casals trio. But even they weren't spending all their time digging around in the trio repertoire, making a life out of being a threesome. This the Beaux-Arts proceeded to do. They performed and recorded trios great and near great over 5 decades. In the process, Menachem Pressler has, of course, become a connoisseur of the piano trio, with its very variable qualities.
Mozart wrote a piano concerto for, and he had the poor man's orchestra next to him. Haydn, certainly. You barely hear the cello. The cello has barely a part.
The pianist insists that balanced trio writing, which features each instrument equally, is very nice, but is not at all what this music, or any music, is about.
What you deal mostly with it are the messages that are entailed in them. I mean, Haydn had that message, and Ives has this message, and Brahms has this message. And if you're capable of bringing that out, and a good group is capable, somehow you're keeping that composer alive. Because without it, those are just dots on the paper.
But even for him, there are certain exceptions, certain times when balance and perfect writing are so overpowering they have to be recognized. And that brings us right back to how we started, with Ravel.
Ravel's trio first movement is really written for an instrument called trio. You do not hear a violin cello thing if it's played right. This is just unbelievable. It remains pristine, untouchable. You try to embrace, but you are only permitted to look.
So, after 50 years, there is the chemistry of the trio, and the message of the music, and the appetite for both. More than an appetite, really.
It is like a hunger in you. A steady hunger, and I was wondering, how is that possible? That when I was young, I was hungry. When I was middle-aged, I was hungry. And now that I'm in the upper structure of age, I feel equally hungry. But I guess I'm a glutton.
Pressler and his two current string players continue their 50th anniversary tour tonight at the Metropolitan Museum, then travel all over the U.S. through the year, aiming for a concert next summer at Tanglewood, on the very night in July on which Pressler and his old Beaux-Arts made their debut in 54. Meanwhile, full-time piano trios abound in the music world, and the form is not considered so half-baked after all.
Now, that we have proved. And I would like to take that credit to the Beaux-Arts.
Credit is definitely due. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin. Thanks for listening to today's podcast from the archives of the Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.